the fuck did you just say, sir?
We don't care what you look like. We don't care who you voted for. Who you worship, what you worship, who you love. If you want rule, there's one thing I can promise you, so help me God. Someone else will raise your sons and daughters.
Welcome to Toward Nothing. My name is Salvatore Limo. I'm joined with my friend Kyle Turnbull. Today we're going to be talking about Renzo Novatore's poem Toward the Creative Nothing, which is where this show gets its title from. And I'm going to compare it to the Communist Manifesto because I think I read them both side by side because I thought that there was a lot of like cool parallels between the two. But Toward the Creative Nothing is a poem by Italian anarchist who's born in Arcola. I believe he was born in like the late 1890s and died in, like 1920s. Had a very crazy life. He was drafted into World War One. He dissented. He dissented against his troop. He was a very interesting figure. He burned down a church at a young age. He was just completely out of control and rebellious. And, you know, on the surface, people like that often get kind of abandoned in a certain way or just neglected and not taken seriously. But his poem is kind of... there's a beauty in it because it's an all-out onslaught on the so-called rules of and the fabrics of society. But it, at the same time, it's like there's so much beauty in it because he's really calling for just a pure, individualistic, joyful lifestyle where people are free in the truest sense. And I think that that's something that people... I think everyone feels like they're entitled to that freedom or that sense of freedom. And I think a lot of the times when we talk about frameworks such as socialism or communism, you know, one of the bigger propaganda talking points is that you won't have that or whatever. But it's interesting because it's like, do we have that in anything? You know, do we have that in any system? What does it mean to truly be free? So I read this in conjunction with the Communist Manifesto because I thought that they were both very opposite. They were both very correct in their thoughts and their ideologies, but it was just one wasn't necessarily a framework. One was a poem and like more raw, visceral, and emotional. And the Communist Manifesto is more of a critique and provides a framework and an alternative, and it's more... like sterile and clinical. So yeah, what were your thoughts on this poem?
I agree. I think it is a raw critique that does not necessarily offer a path forward. It is a very theoretical, personal piece on his views on the individual versus the collective. I think that's something that came up a lot, was this idea that these systems that we create to promote freedom and safety require oppression, which is inherently and fundamentally opposed to the goal that they set out to do. He says in the poem that any system of governance, whether it be religion, socialism, democracy, aims to level all human worth to create one sort of social caste, if that makes sense, where individuals aren't free to choose, free to self-determine, which is crazy because when we look at individual policy choices in so many countries, the liberal left are always about upholding, you know, freedom of choice, self-determination, but structurally we see that doesn't occur. And I think that's what he was largely talking about, is any time that you create hierarchy or rules, you will see this, and you will see this leveling of human worth, which obviously he was unable to abide by.
I also think it's funny because a lot of the imagery that he uses a lot of animals, and he talks about slime a lot and like poison. He mentions the Antichrist, and I think he refers the Antichrist as, does he refer to her as a female? I know he refers to life as a female, which I think is also pretty interesting considering the time.
Yeah.
And the imagery in this is so crazy. My favorite.
It's visceral. It's like raw, and yeah, it's super interesting.
It is, and he claims he compares socialism to like a poison or something that like the bourgeois toads and the proletariat frogs are sipping from the same poison chalice, which kind of implies, or I'm pretty sure he directly states it, that like they really just want, the proletarians at least, just want a changing of the guard. They don't necessarily want equality. Some of them just want to be in charge, which I think is also something that's worth considering, because I mean, there are plenty of revolutionary movements that get tarnished by that same kind of desire for power. I mean, it's not, you can't really dismiss that fact. Like in the conquest for revolution and for the collective freedom, you know, there are spoilers and, you know, saboteurs, so to speak.
What did you, I mean, you said earlier on that you compared it, or at least you were thinking about it directly, how it relates to the Communist Manifesto. He talks about, so that idea of leveling of human worth that I mentioned before, how do you think that plays into the idea of class antagonisms in communist theory? Because, and I'll be upfront and say that I haven't read the Communist Manifesto yet, but from what I understand is the idea of almost leveling everyone is how we get over class antagonism. So how can you reconcile this anarchist viewpoint with the communist viewpoint that everyone needs to be on the same level? Or is he referring to something completely different, do you think?
I think that, so a large part of what I love about Toward the Creative Nothing is that it speaks to a very raw, visceral emotion that people have about politics. And it's kind of nascent in everyone, I would say, because specifically in America, you know, politics breeds a very specific kind of defeatism or nihilism where, you know, how small is our voter turnout? I mean, like a huge chunk of our population doesn't even vote. And that's like the minimal thing that you could do. And so I think that our country has been very successful in keeping that number at that level and keeping participation at an all-time low with politics. And I think that's by design. But I also think that it's because there's no blueprint, there's no framework, there's no ideology or ideological backbone, and that's specifically due to a lack of political education. Now, where that comes into play in the poem, bless you, Kelsey, where that comes into play in the poem is like, there's a lot of imagery and a lot of discussion around, you know, everyone being poisoned, and Renzo, actually, one of my favorite lines from it is, I'm with you in destroying the tyranny of existing society, but when you have done this and begun to build anew, I will oppose and go beyond you. You know, there's this constant search for more in Toward the Creative Nothing. There's this constant search for complete and total liberation, but there's also this overwhelming sense of selfishness and aimlessness, which I think is perfect to pair against the Communist Manifesto, because if you do more digging in the Communist Manifesto and if you read more Marx, a lot of the things that he discusses are about the eventual alienation of humans and isolation and individualism because of their detachment from their labor. So in a sense, Marx is kind of talking about this, you know, this inability of our society to recover and to be cohesive and collective if we keep separating ourselves from our labor and from our ownership of our labor, to be entitled to our labor, to enjoy the fruits of it, to live our lives the way that we want, and to not worry about making money for your boss or whatever the fuck, then what are we? We're not really individuals at that point. So I think Communist Manifesto is a framework where it's like, it lays out a caution, like, this is what we're headed for, and it lays out solutions as to how we can do it. It also has very specific, I don't want to say commandments, but it has a very specific, I guess, laws or something, or principles that...
Yeah, principles or tenets.
Right. And basically, it's, you know, it's the abolition of private property, income taxes, rights of abolishing rights of inheritance. There's way more, but it's basically a move towards a collective society where we're not entirely focused on wealth. Therefore, we have a more holistic and healthy kind of free-spirited society where we're not just dedicated to labor. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, largely it's a reflection on what ownership is and what ownership means. As far as I can tell anyway, you know, the idea of private property. I've seen lots of anarcho-communist teachings that talk about, and we talked about this before we started recording, about the idea of ownership through utility rather than ownership through some, you know, either paying for it or being given that property through inheritance. You know, if you are not using that land for a use, what is your ownership worth? And I think that's super interesting. But I also wonder how Renzo would take that idea, because to me it seems like he thinks that this idea of creating a society where everyone seems, at least at the front of it all, equal in terms of, not in terms of their rights, but equal in terms of operating under a system, I think he would dispel that sort of line of thinking. I don't know.
I think so too. I mean, like, there's no reason to believe that Renzo would adhere or believe in anything.
Yeah, that's true.
There's also, it's like I said, like, he says, like, once this is done, I'm going to defy and go beyond you. He sounds like somebody that was in a constant conquest for more and for more fulfillment and for more beauty from life or whatever that may be. But he also, I think a large part of that yearning for more comes from, you know, first of all, he was poor, which I think has almost everything to do with it. He grew up very poor. But I also think it comes from a complete and outright rejection of religion. And he's, in his poem, he's also rejecting many systems that keep humans, I would say, hypnotized, maybe. You know, he talks about fascism too, and he calls, what does he say about fascism? Because the fascism, he drops some bars about fascism too.
I mean, you said this idea of he was constantly searching for more. I don't know if I read it that way. I read that idea of I will be with you when you try overthrow process A, but when you develop process B, I will be against you too, and I'll try overtake you. I think that was more, to me anyway, a recognition that any system will fail, and any system leads to a reduction in freedom. And so basically he's saying, whatever you build will not fit my ideals, and therefore I will rebel. It doesn't matter if you're liberal or conservative or centrist. It's irrelevant to him, because you're deciding and you are pushing an idea of a system on him. And that is fundamentally where anarchy begins. It is the recognition that your system may not work for me, and I should never be forced to be a part of that. Which in itself, when you don't provide it with framework, looks like nihilistic chaos, obviously. When you don't take into account the other tenets of anarchism, you know, which include autonomy, cooperation, direct aid, direct action, mutual aid, voluntary association, when you don't talk about those alongside anarchism, anarchy sounds like chaos, and that's where I think a lot of people get that wrong, or at least don't read into it more.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, yeah, this man is a psycho. There's no there's something to this though, because in a way, like, if he were to have seen the, you know, what socialism has brought, because he did die relatively early. I mean, this man was hunted by fascists and killed them by making makeshift grenades in his house, which is fucking cool. Blew them up. He got killed because one of his friends turned on him, I'm pretty sure, and like set him up. He got murdered, or I don't remember specifically, but he was found with like a bottle of cyanide in his coat pocket. I mean, I don't think that he had any intention of respecting socialism. I mean, he doesn't in the poem, and he compares socialism and fascism, which is another dynamic that I think is interesting, because fascism and socialism, or I should say nationalistic communism, you know, some people can't really differentiate between the two. So I do think that on the surface, it seems like it seems like he's just outright rejecting society. And I think that he maybe, like you're saying, or that you're implying, that he's calling for an anarchist society. But then it's also, maybe it's a valid critique of socialism as well. Because, I mean, I think this line in specific, he says, socialism is the material force that, acting as the shadow of a dogma, resolves and dissolves in a spiritual no. Fascism is a consumptive of the spiritual no that aims wretch at a material yes. Both lack willful quality. They're the bores of time, the temporizers of the deed. There are people that live in communist societies that kind of feel like the collectivization of a society is one of the downturns. And by that, I mean, there is a level of yearning for individualism. And I mean that on a very small scale, like people knowing your business because that the culture is set up to be so collective. But then there's also fascists don't really, they're just brutes. There's no really like any passion in fascism. It's just aggression and anger. So socialism promises you something, but at the end of the day, you're not getting anything. You're still, you know, empty. In fascism, you're not getting anything at all, but because you're so nationalistic and angry, you feel you're driven, right? So I don't know. I think that there's almost a level of warning in that.
100%. Oh, I think the biggest problem that we have, because I think if you analyzed you and I and our political views, people would be like, oh, you're liberal, you're progressive, you're leftist, and I think that does a disservice, because that comes from a position where you speak about it as if it's inherently positive, and no political system is inherently positive. I don't think, personally. I don't, you know, we can't look at socialism or a democratic socialist country from the worldview that that's the right way of doing it. We need to look, and this is where you start talking about frameworks, we need to look at how we're achieving what we want to achieve, what we're achieving, and what we're sacrificing to get there. And if you don't do that, you're not being objective about the system you're wanting to implement. And that's why him painting them as both bad kind of offers a way to be like, reflect on what we're searching for and what progressives in, let's say, the United States are searching for.
Yeah, that's true. I think a large part of the reason why I compared it to the Communist Manifesto, because it's like, in State Revolution, Lenin repeatedly kind of makes fun of anarchists. I mean, he was exiled because people were like, yo, you're an anarchist, you're fucking psycho. But he also, in State and Revolution, was very much so like, anarchy is cool and good and all great and shit, but like, there's no way you can abolish a state overnight and not recreate the same issues that capitalism breeds. I wanted to compare this to Communist Manifesto because I don't think that Marx ever said like, socialism is perfect, it's what we need. But, you know, when you see something that's critiquing socialism, and not to mention Renzo was inspired by Marx, he mentions Marx in the poem, but it's Marx had a very specific way of viewing society. So where some communists and Marxists view anarchy as necessary, and they view anarchism as a, I think it would be more of like after communism. They also acknowledge that you can't just immediately go to anarchism. Like you can't just throw something on fire and rebuild it. You have to gradually fix it and gradually take it down. So in the Communist Manifesto, he lays out material conditions and material reasons for why people are the way that they are and what can make things better. So it's like, I think in short, where Renzo was talking about like a sort of metaphysical material condition and a metaphysical desire, Marx was talking about a very real material, you know, desire for change, which is fucking money and labor. So
yeah, I mean, Renzo's response and conversation around this is incredibly spiritual. It barely touches on what it means, and I think this is really important because this is what I try to talk about when I talk about anarchy with people. It really speaks to the ultimate form of freedom, which is you and everyone else has no right, no inherent right to govern what I do with my body, right? And you know, you have no right to tread on my self-determination. He comes from there, he talks about it in a spiritual form, in a form that, you know, allows him to express himself in any way he chooses to. But what that is pure anarchy. And maybe, like, that's where I've maintained over the last sort of year after going on this journey is I've maintained that's where we need to start. Because what Marx and Lenin were doing was a pragmatic response to what they saw. And what Renzo was talking about is, I believe this to be true, and no system or form of government can tell me otherwise. So I think they're two very different approaches to a very, you know, the same problem. But I always see anarchy as being where we need to start and then build towards something else, if that makes sense. Because if we don't start respecting individual freedom of everything inherently, then every system we build on top of that will be inherently a reduction of freedom, I believe. And I think that's what Renzo was talking about too.
I think that's interesting because I might disagree with that only because I think...
I know you're the opposite way around. You believe communism is the way towards anarchism, and I believe that anarchism is on the way towards providing a place where communist societies could flourish.
But I also acknowledge that I think that both of those... I think either one is the solution. I don't know if that makes... I know I sound like I'm contradicting myself. I disagree with you, but yeah, I wouldn't confidently say like anarchy is not the answer. So it's like it could, because I think, like I was saying earlier, I mean, shit, we don't have a political education in this country. I think if you give people an ideological framework or the right to self-determine, who knows what it could lead to. But it's the who knows what it could lead to that scares me, though, because I personally think you need to have everyone on the same page ideologically first, but
will we ever see that? I don't think we will. I don't think it's physically possible to A, achieve that, and B, what are the methods by which you get to that? Because if they're coercive, then are they better than replacing what we have? Do you know what I mean?
Like, oh yeah, totally. Marx mentions reactionary socialism, which is kind of it can be something a little bit tricky to understand at first, but it's basically anti-industrialists who kind of wanted a return to like feudalism. So they wanted to restore their own class power. They wanted to be basically the bourgeois, which is kind of fucking lame if you ask me. But I mean, honestly, if I could be rich, I'd want to be rich too. So I get it. I can't really fault them, you know, but it's similar to Renzo saying that the bourgeois and the proletariat toads sip from the same poison chalice. And, you know, in order for these people to arouse sympathy, they kind of pretended to like fight against their own interests. It was just like, you know, they lie to the working class. It's kind of like the Democratic Party. And so feudal socialism comes from that. It's just a desperate attempt to go back to the past. And that's kind of a prediction or warning, you know, of like people that may not be on your side, or people that just might want a return to some sort of feudal era capitalism or something, or basically selling you something that doesn't exist. And Renzo kind of does the same thing, but he does it a little bit more metaphorically and charmingly, I'd say.
Which is surprising because he's been a nihilist the entire time.
I think he's like the edgy art student almost. Like Marx is just very scientific and clinical, and Renzo is just like birds, frogs.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I mean, what you were saying makes sense because what you're saying is like the idea of like a false prophet being sold this idea when its goals or its vision is maybe misguided or trying to lead people astray. And I think that's why the end of Toward the Creative Nothing presents, again, what we were talking about freedom. I think Renzo inherently understands the fact that if you are following someone else's vision, there is always going to be that chance to be led astray. And that's why he said, you know, he has similar views on the proletariat rising up. At the end of this poem, he says, as the farmer transforms his fruitful spade into a war lance, as the laborer transforms his hammer into a scythe and cleaver. So he understands that revolution comes from the working class, but the part where he diverges is where he says, he recognizes that society will fall. He says, and society will fall, the fatherland will fall, the family will fall, all will fall after the free man is born. And I think that's where those two texts really diverge, because Renzo knows that to have any form of change or to defeat these things, everyone inherently has to like not only respect and understand their own freedom, but fight for it first. And we won't see that change until the individual is respected or the individual is free to choose.
I kind of interpreted it differently. I'm kind of interpreting it as him breaking the chains of society, so to speak, quote unquote. But then the more I look at it, the more I think I'm inclined to agree with you and the way that he views it, the way that it's just, I mean, nothing, no ruler, you know, complete individuality and freedom of
will. Well, that's anarchy. Choice. Anarchy in Greek literally translates to no ruler.
No ruler, right. The Communist Manifesto, and similarly, the communists disdain to conceal their views and aims. They openly declare that their ends can be attained only by the forcible overthrow of all existing social conditions. Let the ruling class tremble at a communistic revolution. The proletarians have nothing to lose but their chains. They have a world to win. Which one of these makes you want to join an org, and which one of these makes you want to like blow up something?
You know I lean towards anarchism over communism, and that's maybe through pure lack of reading and understanding yet. That journey hasn't happened for me yet. But I think it's much easier for me to theoretically